From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
A new scientific paper published this fall shows that the pink salmon population is booming in the North Pacific Ocean, and global warming is helping it happen. As Coast Alaska's Angela Denning reports, the new evidence suggests that pinks are not just outcompeting other salmon species, but they're affecting the whole ecosystem, from the microscopic to large marine whales.
Pink salmon numbers have skyrocketed due to global warming. While many species throughout the world are struggling to adjust to hotter temperatures, pink salmon are thriving. Salmon researcher Greg Ruggeroni is the lead author of a new 40-page study published in the scientific journal Marine Ecology Progress Series.
Pink salmon are one of the winners in terms of climate change.
But for every winner, there is a loser, or in this case, several. The new research shows that the spike in pink salmon in recent decades is affecting the ocean's fragile food chain. Pink salmon run on an every other year cycle. The population in the odd number years is 25% greater than even number years. And when pink numbers are up, other species are down.
From phytoplankton to zooplankton, forage fishes, all five species of Pacific salmon, and marine birds. It all points to pink salmon.
Scientists don't know all the reasons that pink salmon are doing better in warmer waters. But they do know that pinks are better than other salmon species at finding prey and growing from their nutrients. In fact, they're the fastest growing salmon, ready to spawn in just 2 years, three times faster than kings. Plus, hatcheries are bolstering their population, pumping roughly 5 billion salmon annually into the Pacific Ocean, mostly pinks and chums. The general assumption is that the ocean has significant capacity to support them all. But Ruggeroni says his new research proves that's not the case.
I think the evidence that we provided in that synthesis leads to the observation that the ocean has a limited carrying capacity to support both wild salmon plus massive numbers of hatchery chum and pink salmon.
His new research shows that when pink salmon are especially abundant, that's when other species suffer. Pinks eat a ton of prey from zooplankton to small fish. In turn, this creates smaller and fewer other salmon species, as well as steelhead trout. Less growth in Alaska's herring population, a 33% lower birth rate in humpback whales in southeast Alaska, and higher mortality and lower birth rates in endangered orcas in Puget Sound. The study also connects the pink salmon cycle to nearly a dozen species of seabirds.
They laid more eggs in even years, good years, than they did in odd years, bad years.
Alan Springer is a co-author of the study. He's a seabird researcher with the University of Alaska Fairbanks. He says they got data from scientists all over the world who found biennial patterns.
A variety of then associated reproductive kinds of parameters all varied in lockstep with that even odd year pattern in pink salmon.
Things like emaciated and starving shearwater birds on an every other year cycle. The scientists say there is no evidence for other explanations for the biennial patterns that have been recorded.
You know, sea surface temperature or wind speeds or these atmospheric indexes of whatever fail to show any kind of similar patterns. So that's kind of what for us is the bottom line.
The Alaska Department of Fish and Game is skeptical of the paper's findings. Commissioner Doug Vincent Lang, in a written response, called the paper a hypothesis and said it's the subject of an ongoing debate among scientists. He said, quote, The conclusions put forth are stated as more definitive than the strength of the evidence that backs them up. The researchers, like Rigoroni, agree that it's a hypothesis, but a strong one.
More research is certainly needed.
But this is what the data shows. It doesn't mean you have all the answers as to why.
Exactly. But again, what the synthesis paper, an important part of it, is just the consistency in the relationships across all these different taxa.
Taxa meaning a biological group. The authors hope that other scientists take their findings and dig deeper into all the ways the large pink salmon population could be affecting other species in the North Pacific. And timing is of the essence, as ocean temperatures are expected to rise. Reporting for Coast Alaska in Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Matson, providing twice weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle.
After recent years of record or near record harvests, Bristol Bay sockeye salmon numbers are expected to return to more average levels next year. The Alaska Beacon reports that the 2024 Bristol Bay sockeye salmon run is expected to total nearly 40 million fish, according to a preliminary forecast released Friday by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. That is about one-third lower than the average over the past decade, but slightly higher than the long-term average for Bristol Bay. Bristol Bay is site of the world's largest sockeye salmon runs, and recent years' returns have been especially large. Last year's sockeye return hit a record of 79 million fish, and the prior year was also a record. This year's run was the eighth largest on record. If the run comes in as forecasted, it would be about the same size as runs in the early 2000s.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries. Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
A recent report from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game shows the impact of the closure of a prominent fishery on the 2023 season for the commercial salmon industry in Upper Cook Inlet. As KDLL's Riley Board reports, set netters are concerned not just about the economic state of their fishery, but the possible future impact of over-escapement.
In the Upper Inlet, the report says, the 2023 commercial salmon harvest was about 40% lower than the 20-year average. Commercial fishermen caught 1.9 million salmon in the Upper Inlet, compared to the 20-year average of 3.1 million. Fish and Game attributes most of that decline to the closure of the East Side Set Net fishery, which the department closed before the season even began in anticipation of low king salmon numbers.
And that's all just to prioritize the king salmon in their weak state.
Colton Lipka is Fish and Game's area management biologist for Upper Cook Inlet.
J- generally, the east side set net fishery does make up a large proportion of sockeye catch and participation. So on a 20-year average, you have around 347 permits that would participate in that fishery. When you're talking about a overall Upper Cook Inlet permit participation of around 920 or so, it's a good chunk of the fishery that did not prosecute this year.
Set netters know how much they lost out on this year. Last week, the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly passed a resolution asking the governor to declare an economic disaster in the fishery. The borough estimated Eastside set netters lost about $7 million in possible earnings because of the closure.
For us, it was a very difficult and disastrous year.
This is Ken Coleman, vice president of the Kenai Peninsula Fishermen's Association. And he says the issue isn't just this year's losses. His organization believes the over-escapement of sockeyes could mean bad things for the population in the future.
In our want and desire to make sure that the king run comes back and becomes healthy, we may actually be hurting the sockeye salmon, and instead of having two positives, we might very well have two negatives, a weak king run and in the future a weak sockeye run.
Coleman believes over-escapement can put too much pressure on a river or lake system and make food sources scarce for young salmon. In the Kenai River, Fish and Game had an upper escapement goal of 1.4 million for sockeye. About 2.3 million total fish made it to the weir 19 miles into the river. In the Kasilof, escapement also far exceeded the optimal goal. Lipka, with Fish and Game, says the department isn't sure yet how the high sockeye escapement numbers this year will affect the fishery.
How that's actually going to affect the long-term production of sockeye, it's yet to be seen. This is somewhat unexplored territory with Kenai and Kasilof, which runs this large. So hard to say right at the moment.
He says the general theory is that going over escapement goals reduces potential returns over time. But there isn't a robust data set showing what that might look like on the Kenai. As for kings, optimal escapement goals weren't met this year, although they did meet the lower threshold sustainable goal. Coleman says based on those numbers, he doesn't think set netters will fish again next year.
We're trying to find a creative way to not catch king salmon, and we've been doing a pretty good job of that over the past decade, I think. For instance, we've done a lot of gear modifications to keep our nets up off the bottom of the water column where the kings swim, and staying closer to the beach, not having as much gear out there. And we're trying to find a way to creatively get those fish to the river so they get to the spawning bed, and we all are better for that.
The association has several proposals on the table for the Board of Fish meeting coming up early next year. Coleman says the Board of Fish outcomes will be critical for the commercial fishing industry in the inlet. The board will meet from February 23rd to March 6th in Anchorage. In Kenai, I'm Riley Board.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.